humans, and welcome to Audio Face, an irreverent podcast about the music news and music culture that mostly matters. I'm Dan.
I am Sean.
This is episode 127.
127?
Yes, done quite a lot of these. And we've got quite a lot of music for you. We reviewed this week. We're still going back to the music that we didn't review during the regular Audio Face season because we had the awards and stuff like that.
Correct.
So we have Jack Boys, the Cactus Jack drop, mainly by Travis Scott, some of the other folks there. We have K Tronada, and we have Of Montreal. And obviously a lot of news, a lot of Grammy-related news for the Grammys that just happened. And of course, we always start Audio Face with our new Love the Fourth Wall. We always start Audio Face with our new singles of the week, and this week we had quite a good one. We had Fortet's Baby. Yes, I remember texting you, telling you to drive to this song.
Listen to this in a car.
Listen to this while you're moving on some form of transport, yes.
Yeah, it was beautiful. I love this. This is definitely going in my workout playlist, or whatever. My very eclectic-ass workout playlist. But Baby is going on there for sure. It's just, like, it's not super up-tempo, but it's up-tempo enough to make you want to move.
Yeah, to be like a, yeah, like a workout song, something to keep a heart rate or a tempo.
Yeah,
like
if someone like made deep house, maybe someone made deep house workout deep house. That's what the Baby is.
No, yeah,
and that's what I love about it.
Yeah, and like the deep house parts are very subtle, noticeable if you're like a deep house head, especially as I am. But like noticeable enough to make a fun song. Fortet will also have a full album for us in March.
Oh shit,
we'll have that. Should be nice. Really looking forward to that. And to make sure you don't miss out on any of the stuff we do on Audio Face, make sure you are subscribed to this podcast. A lot of people just search Audio Face and hit the download button all the time, and they don't just subscribe. The app will just do it for you and download new episodes for you when they drop every Monday. Like next week, when we'll be reviewing Lil Wayne's surprise new album that he's dropping.
Okay.
Kesha, which we'll work through, and Stormzy, which we'll see how that goes. And then around that time, we will be kind of through albums that we had missed over our break, and we'll be mostly reviewing new stuff.
Because come February, that's when a lot of new stuff. That's when you get Caribou and Tame Impala.
Yes.
As well, right?
Yeah. Green Day also.
Oh fuck, that's right.
Yeah. Green Day, Grimes. There's a lot of stuff coming in February.
February will be very interesting.
Also, just make an update. Caribou is technically coming out in February, but we'll be reviewing it on like the first episode in March. So.
Well, because it's the last week of February. Gotcha.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. But let's get right into it. The Grammys, which if you're listening to this podcast, it happened. If you're hosting this podcast, it's going to happen. But
who wins? Who cares? Listen to the Audio Face Awards, because it's the only award show that matters, because it's not bullshit and not bought out.
Yes.
And fake.
Not bought out yet. We that does not mean we're not taking options. But currently it's not
we'll
bought
sell
out.
We'll sell out.
Haven't yet. But that... we have integrity for it right now. The Grammys this year, as we talked about a couple, at this point months ago, the nominations weren't as bad as previous years have been. They're definitely passable. There are some artists I think have, at time of talking, will at time of listening, have been honored for their good achievements. Mm. Like Billie Eilish got a lot of good nominations. Lizzo, for better or worse, also got nominations. Her, Tyler, the Creator, etc., also going to be really good. There's going to be a tribute to Nipsey Hussle. There's going to be a tribute to Prince. There's a lot of stuff going on. But the real interesting thing about the Grammys is the drama.
Drama!
And this is like more drama than usual because very recently, the president and CEO of the Recording Academy, the folks behind the Grammys, Deborah Dugan, appeared on TV news to kind of discuss why, well, she was suspended, but she was also kind of saying that... the Grammys voting committees have huge conflicts of interest. Mm-hmm. The board of directors have the power to place potential nominees with their own preferences. And artists up for nominations at times have been present at their own categories voting committee. So it's literally like, this is some Soviet Union shit, where like the voting happens and the presidential candidate slash incumbent is in the voting booth going, hey, you can vote for whoever you want to, but vote for me or else.
Do you know what this reactor is called? The Vladimir Lenin reactor or whatever? Deadass, that's terrible.
Yeah, I mean, we kind of already knew
exactly. We knew it was basically fake because of all of the people that win awards and stuff when we're like, this is garbage music. But then there are some that definitely deserve it. But especially the past 10 years, there's been a lot of artists like, okay, you definitely don't deserve any recognition. You should never make music again for the rest of your life.
Definitely in the 10s was a reckoning for, I think, a lot of the award shows because there's Oscars So White, which is like a totally separate issue with the Oscars happening.
Yeah.
But like, there's this kind of a fight happening between the people who do the nominating and everyone else who participates in the field, where they don't feel like the awards are being like handed out justly, or like either the people watching the awards aren't watching or consuming the same content that everyone else is. But nevertheless, the Grammy, the Recording Academy released a statement saying that it's the goal of the Recording Academy to ensure the Grammy process is fair. There have been spurious, meaning we believe these are fake allegations that are categorically false about nominations and stuff. But a lot of what Deborah Duggan was also talking about was not just rigged voting. It was just like also like Me Too sort of abuse that was happening within the recording industry, which
of course
we're not surprised by. But it actually is good that someone that high up is speaking out about it. That's kind of the good thing.
And this is fucking hilarious.
Just a little bit of quick chisme from the Grammys before we head out. Aerosmith, which, because we're in the 20s, we kind of have to explain, is a very classic rock band that existed at a time. And they were going to perform at the Grammys because, you know, to do like a rejoining thing. They haven't been together for a while, but one of the drummers, actually Joey Kramer, who's been the drummer the whole time. A lot of these bands, they've been around so long, they switch different parts of the band here and there. But the drummer Joey Kramer has been around for a while. He said that he wanted to perform on this, but Aerosmith made him do an audition and send an audition tape before he was allowed to perform with his band at the Grammys.
So he sued them.
Yes. I mean, and it seemed a little bit fucked up, but then Aerosmith released a statement that says, to paraphrase, or like skip around a little bit, Jerry Kramer is our brother. His well-being is of paramount importance to us. However, he has not been emotionally and physically able to perform with the band by his own admission for the last 6 months. We have missed him and encouraged him to join us, but many times he's apparently not felt ready to do so. He feels ready now, but we unfortunately have no time for necessarily rehearsals during Grammys week. We would be doing a disservice to him, ourselves, and our fans to have him play without adequate time to prepare and rehearse. And compounding this, he chose to file a lawsuit on the Friday night of the holiday weekend preceding the Grammys with total disregard to our limited window to prepare to perform these important events. So basically it's like, no, we want to have you perform, dude, but you haven't been up to speed and we just want to make sure you're like there. It definitely seems we just did another story with like, here's one person's side, here's the statement. Mm-hmm. This statement clears a lot up, I think. And Joey Kramer is a little bit more in the wrong here, but hopefully I don't know how to speak about this in the future, but maybe they work it out, maybe they don't. Who cares? Don't watch the Grammys.
Yeah, exactly. It's just funny to me. Yeah. Also Told You So.
Yeah. Juice WRLD's cause of death was ruled as, spoiler alert, an accidental drug overdose.
Told you.
We all sort of assume this. We were speculating because we didn't have the official information, but now about a month and a half afterwards. So
his toxic levels both had oxycodone and codeine in his system. Oxycodone and codeine in his system. So you know when rappers say, I got codeine in my veins, be like, well, you're going to die.
No. He consumed several pills of Percocet. Oxycodone is the main
in Percocet.
Yeah. And it was like found with tons of drugs on his plane. Like it's, we make light of this only because like,
I've been yelling at Trap for years to like, you got to get off the drug shit. Because that's half of what you rap about. And we're going to get that into Jack Boys anyways. But people keep dying because of this shit.
Yeah, it's this glorification of drug culture, and which is like, as with everything in rap especially, it's very fictionalized. You often talk about things that are like hyper-violent, how all these different things you probably wouldn't do in real life, and hopefully the artists aren't encouraging people to do in real life, and a lot of it's dramatized. But a lot of it is drug glorification without any sort of context as to what that means. And so you get people who do it. All the people, loved ones around Juice WRLD said he had drug addiction issues going up to this, prescription drug addiction issues. So hopefully this is a lesson to the music world, one of many lessons that have happened recently with many other artists dying of overdoses.
People
under the age of 25. Like, these are all people in our generation who are dying. So it's
But I mean, sad. This has happened in music history. I mean, Elvis, Jimi Hendrix.
It is true. But let's move on away from death and to Burncella, Burnapalooza.
I prefer Burnaroo.
Burnaroo.
Burnaroo is my favorite. So it's Bernie Sanders Caucus in Iowa. They're having a concert and it's headlined by Vampire Weekend and Bon Iver.
Yes, leading
which
up
kind of goes hard.
Yeah, leading up to the Iowa caucuses where a state in the middle of the United States decides for the rest of the country who's going to be the presidential nominee. hashtag no politics. In the lead up to that, Bernie Sanders is going to try to like get people to be motivated to vote for him, partially by having Vampire Weekend and Bon Iver come. It'll be cool to have that kind of stuff. Real talk, this is the last exit before Hell World, so if you are in Iowa or you know people in Iowa, like fucking get serious and let's get Bernie elected. This is not fucking funny anymore.
Come on now, stop fucking around. Speaking about fucking around, we've got an album by Jack Boys.
Yeah, Jack Boys is this drop done by Travis Scott and a couple of rappers that he's like, you know, close to affiliated with.
Don Toliver, Pop Smoke, Quavo,
7 songs upset. Long, 21 minutes, definitely drop category. But
came out in December, and anybody who was on this album needs to not make music for the next 35 years. And if they even as so long as like tap their leg, I want the FBI to open up their door and say, knock, 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 you're not allowed to make music. Like no musical notes can pop out of their vortexes in their bodies. That's how bad this is. It's fucking terrible.
I now prefer the word vortex to orifice. Next time I'm in a hookup situation, I'm like, show me the vortex.
Exactly. Because you know, she looked confused like, vortex. Interesting. Because that Oprah says she's going to get up and leave the room. Vortex. You need to be a little creative in that.
I never thought that Sean would be giving me advice on my sex life, and yet here the fuck we are.
It is a new decade, new me. Highest in the room. There's two songs I kind of want to nominate for worst songs on Flat Green Earth again. Is Highest
Scorched Earth, New to Hawaii, No Quid Pro Quo.
No Quid Pro Quo, / whatever we're going to make it this coming decade. Highest in the Room. I think I've heard that version of that song of million infinity times, and it's just as bad as I like to see it, Thought Tina, as I like to call it, because I don't know how to say it. And then
I like the Rosalia in the middle, the like
that's bit. Okay, but it's auto-tuned. She doesn't need to auto-tune parts of it, but it is, fuck off. And then you have Out West, which if you proclaim yourself as a feminist or anybody who likes females, you cannot like that song. It is disgusting what it does. Like, I'm okay with being sexy and stuff in songs. You know, I'm not. I can move the hips and stuff. But this song literally is like jizzing in the mouth, seeing it wash out, like flow through her mouth or whatever shit.
Yeah,
I'm like,
it is
it's super degrading to females. I'm like, yeah, I can't deal with that. Young Thug, don't fucking do that.
Public of the driveway, vibes in his bitch, vibe on the chick, 5,000 bricks. Ooh, she bad as it get, her mouth kicking sleep. She knows she got the kid with a 500 pussy.
Young Thug, you're now on the list of not making music.
Yikes.
As much as I like Young Thug, like, nope, lost my respect for you.
Young Thug is a love hate thing because I did not like his. So Much Fun that came out last year. Mm-hmm. I started with hating it profusely. Mm-hmm. I came around to hating it a little.
Yes. But Gang Gain is okay with Sheck West. It just sounds like every trap song, but it goes hard.
I had a Sheck West thing in around 2018. I'm over it.
Yeah, exactly. But that's what I was about to say. But Sheck West is just the thing where he just yells and screams.
To me, the most interesting used lightly song on here is at the very end, Gatti.
Gatti.
I felt like it did some stuff kind of interesting. Yeah, she love doggy style, huh? And she got a Louis back. Yeah. That whole next thing go. Okay. Flex. My bitch love Coco. Woo back, baby. Woo back, baby. Woo.
see some. Okay, okay. Okay, okay. My bitch love Coco. Woo back, baby. Woo back, baby.
And that's the thing with Travis Scott. You see like little glimpses of like inspiration from different areas of music. And you can generally see someone who's like, oh, this is a cool thing that classical music does or that rock music does. Let me try to bring this over to trap. It just so happens that Travis Scott is not the ideal person to make that kind of connection.
And had enough. It literally is just two-thirds of Migos, and that's two-thirds too much of Migos. That should be on a song together for the rest of their lives. But it's the same fucking shit.
Hashtag free takeoff.
It's right, free takeoff.
Hashtag free takeoff.
I mean, I'm kind of down. Takeoff's like, where my money at?
Takeoff and Slim Jimmy from Ray Tremor are both just like sitting in the same.
Slim Jimmy.
This is waiting to get that call. Just like, hey, y'all making the album yet or what?
Yeah,
like,
right. He's sitting there chilling. So that might be my favorite member of Migos because he's the quietest.
Yeah.
Free takeoff. Yeah. Yeah,
yeah.
Don't fucking listen to this album. It's not really, really bad.
It exemplifies what we mean by drop, because this was like pretty hot when it came out. Literally the day it came out, everyone was talking about it. And now that it's been a month or so, there's like completely out of sight, out of mind, out of memory. If you're a Travis Scott friend, if you're a fan, or you're a really big trap head, then maybe you'll remember this album. But it's a drop. It's a drop. That's why we created the term drop on Audioface, to describe these kind of things.
Exactly.
Mostly don't listen to it. Arbitrary scale this week is decided by Sean.
Yeah, so it is. My favorite car was discontinued because Chevy is stupid. It's called the Chevy Volt.
Oh, yeah.
And so this is...
I have a perfect arbitrary scale. Discontinued GM vehicles.
Literally, that's what it was going to be. It was discontinued GM vehicles.
Yes.
Is literally what it is. Like, what this arbitrary
scale
is.
This is the Chevy HHR. Remember that
God
truck?
Damn it, I was going to say that. That's the HHR. Because this is the most
flames
ugliest.
On it.
No, it needs to be burnt purple with yellow flames coming up the top.
That's exactly the shit I'm talking about.
Ugliest car in the world and deserved to be canceled just like this album.
Absolutely.
Terrible.
Not just the HHR, because there was like a wagon version of it. The HHR, that was a truck.
Yeah, exactly. Like the one that had the bed that had the bed that was covered.
Yeah, the one that looked like the Cholo vehicle.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, I mean, straight up, if you live in Santa Ana, you saw like seven of those.
Yeah. Anyways, REM, rapid eye movement. No, not really.
Restless eye movement.
Yes.
One of my favorite bands
also,
of all
time. Because we're in the 2020s and we may need to explain this, are a rock band.
Oh my God, if you don't know who REM are, holy fuck.
Well, like rock band, I mean, sorry, rock band.
Well, because REM, I mean, REM was in the 80s, 90s.
They broke up in 2011, so yeah, it can be reasonable to like, they were, yeah, but they were,
they were very,
a very big rock band.
And Donald, a lot of influences, and they hate Trump.
Donald Trump has been using a lot of their music in concerts. No, not concerts, but when he's doing speeches for things, and he is not actually speaking to he's not actually coordinating with REM in order to get permission for these things. He's just sort of using their music and co-opting it for his message, which musicians have done this like time immemorial, and they really fucking hate when this happens. So, REM is also coming after them. They tweeted, "World leader pretend, Congress media ghost this faker, love REM." World leader pretend, a reference to one of their old songs. Mm-hmm. But I also love, my favorite part of this whole story, is that Donald Trump was walking out on stage to the REM song called, "It's the End of the World as We Know It," parentheses, "And I Feel Fine."
Yes.
It's a fucking great song.
It's the end of the world as we know it.
The official song of Disney's Chicken Little, but was literally not the song that Donald Trump should be using, ironically or unironically, to walk on stage. Yes. So thankfully, REM is joining the long list of artists who are threatening to sue Trump for using their music, which is, I think, is really funny. Speaking of butthurt artists, this is Eminem.
I can't talk.
Uh-oh. No, nope. Yeah, so...
Because it's about Ariana Grande. I'm still banned myself.
Only slightly. Eminem, as we talked about last week, released an album, Music to be Murdered By, which is a surprise drop album release, and it was going to be typically edgy, kind of over the top, as Eminem usually is wont to do, and he got a lot of flack for that, for among other things... rapping about the Ariana Grande concert that got bombed
terroristed.
And a music video that reenacted the Las Vegas festival shooting.
Fucking... So bad.
Basically, long story short, Eminem did the kind of apology where he said, if you were offended, I'm sorry. But he didn't really apologize for his actions or even really acknowledge that anything he said could have been over the line. He basically just said that these bars are only meant for the sharpest knives of the drawer. For the victims of this album, may you rest peacefully. For the rest of you, please listen more closely next time.
Okay. Oh, and then he also said, if you are easily offended or unnerved at the screams of bloody murder, this may not be the collection for you.
And so, like, there's a part where I understand where, like, there's, like, suburban moms who are upset when, like, films that are rated PG have too much blood.
Exactly.
I understand that. You're so like, there's a certain element of, like, hey, you understand what you're getting with Eminem. Don't freak out. That being said, that does not mean you have carte blanche to not be criticized ever. And that doesn't mean just because you decide to, hey, Deadpool's rated R now, we can do whatever we want. No, you're still media like anyone else, and so you get to be criticized like any other form of media. So if Eminem is edgy but goes over the line, then he's gonna get shit for it, and he should just like take that shit like a man instead of releasing this like I'm sorry if you're offended letter. It's not quite a noted little bitch move, because unfortunately it's very common, but it's pretty damn close. And Billie Eilish opened up a little bit about her history with depression and suicidal thoughts, admitting that she genuinely didn't think she would make it to 17. She was 18 when her star-studded album...
Yeah, and Royale she Falls said in 2018, during the tour in 2018, she considered taking her own life multiple times.
Yeah. She was in Berlin alone in a hotel. She remembers she was right there. I don't want to go into details because it's like sort of graphic.
It's fucking sad.
He says, I remember crying because I was thinking about how the way I was going to die was. I was going to do it. And she also mentioned that the, I think it's like Just a Friend. There's a song on the album that talks about suicide. And it seems like it's from another person's perspective or like to a friend, but it's actually about her. So she wrote about herself, which is an interesting sort of like vulnerability. And so like, this is, we do a little bit too much. Like, it's almost like I need to put in the Radiohead Gorillaz 1975 category of we need to self-censor and stop. But it's so important for Billie Eilish to exist. Because she's this massive pop artist who's just like a real fucking artist. Like,
That's why her album was important. I talked about it, that too.
Yeah, last decade we would have thrown Billie Eilish in the category of like she wouldn't have been pop, but she would have been like the Bjork FKA Twigs category of like, experimental. If you know, you know, but like she's really on her shit. But because she's this good, but she's also a mega pop star that's super down to earth, I mean, it makes me cautiously optimistic for the current decade.
Yeah, but I'm glad she's opened up about it and everything too. So
yeah, it's also important to open up about it because
other people and other shit too. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, anyways, going from depressing stuff to more music, we have Kaytranada's Bubba, which is another album with eyeballs, double pupils. Stop freaking me out, people. This came out in the 13th of December, I believe. So that was right, like, we recorded our award show that...
We recorded Court Packing episode.
Court Packing episode. That's when we cut it off, was the week before that. So that's why we weren't able to review it. Anyways, this is 17 songs, 50 minutes long, and it's fantastic. It's very, very good. It's the first two songs are instrumentals, which is interesting to me, but I like that.
Yeah.
And it's super chill. The entire album, the entire length. I was thinking when I was listening to it, it felt like literally it got up and just stayed at a level that I liked. I didn't want it to move up. I didn't want to move down or anything within it.
As far as tempo, as far as mood goes, it definitely gets to that level and then stays there and keeps you there. And it really keeps you as an environment.
And there's a bunch of instrumental pieces in it too as well. There's obviously pieces with people like I don't know if it's my favorite on the album, but a song I like a lot is 10% with Kelly Ukis. That shit goes really, really hard.
I fucking love it.
I really love that song. Free Fall is great. Worst in Me with Tinashe is very good. Vex O, there's a lot of good tracks in this album.
Yeah, Vexo's got like the master mix with Ari Pennsmith, 8ix9ine Fly, and Gold Link.
Yeah,
it's hard. A perfect because it's a little bit Afro-Caribbean, and it's just this fun sort of like dance hall.
The main theme of this album is like the entire thing is dance hall, but it's chill dance hall.
I wouldn't say the entire thing's dance hall. The entire thing's dance.
Yeah,
the entire thing's like this various levels of electronic and stuff, and it goes into little like subgenres.
Exactly, and I love that because it explores so much in the world of electronic music that because we always say it's so broad because people like. To people who don't listen to electronic music,
to people who listen to EDM,
exactly, because that's what I'm saying. How we've been trying to say for years, how there's EDM, there's electronic music, but there's so many little things in between it, and this is the shit we like. This is the things that with electronic music you can do as a full album and be like, hey, there's so many different sub tiny genres, niche things in there.
Not a single need to do the dumb build up, explode thing. You just do it. And you can still move the crowd as much. I think a great example is the song Go DJ.
Is just like, dude, I love that song, right?
Like,
that's a great song.
Even the chorus is just like the perfect party vibe. Yeah. Like literally, it's like the song where, fellas.
Yeah.
It's a song where, you know, where you're dancing, you got maybe some girl you like, you're all having fun, and you feel like, no. Everything's happening right now because the DJ's on my team. DJ fucking gets it up there and gets it. And that's like the song. Like it's that mood really encapsulated.
Fellas, that's when
so
you
well.
that's when you get to dance with your girl.
To the left, that she brought it back, and now the blunt still burning, the clock still turning, the waist keep whining while her ass keep twerking. The DJ's on my team, I'm certain the DJ's on my team. Can I get a gold DJ? Gold DJ. Can I get a gold DJ?
Yeah, literally, that's the song for it. It's mentioned in that song.
Exactly.
But you can. I think this album is really good because it's got a little bit of something for everyone. Within electronic, it's like a little bit of a like a showcase for electronic and what you can do. And K-Tronauta's unique sort of like hip-hop influence style for sure. Because K-Tronauta's previous album, 99.9%, my guy loves percentages, I don't blame him. You know, you had influences from Anderson .Paak, Bad Bad Not Good, Vic Mensa, and it's very much that kind of thing too. It definitely improved and tweaked slightly, not a big overhaul, but really good.
Yes. This is the Chevy Avalanche, which I didn't realize was actually discontinued.
Really?
Until right now.
Oh.
And that's like one of my favorite trucks, low-key. I didn't like the Silverado at all. That thing felt like a hunk of garbage, but the Avalanche kind of slapped because it was a copy on the Ridgeline of the Honda.
The Honda Ridgeline?
Like, it was a dead-ass copy of the Honda Ridgeline as the Chevy Avalanche.
I'm never going to let it live down that the Americans copied off of a Japanese truck.
Oh, because, you know, the Honda Ridgeline fucking goes hard in the paint.
So truck fans are always kind of iffy on it, because the older Ridgeline was, there were some problems with it.
Oh, no, I'm talking about newer Ridgelines.
Oh, Ridgeline, maybe they got something going. I haven't tried it yet. And I also don't love trucks. My pick is the Saturn EV1.
That's fucking rough.
This is for the old heads. This is for the old heads.
Oh shit, I don't know what car that is. That's horrible. Look like it. Like
Chevy's parent company is General Motors. General Motors used to have another company called Saturn.
Saturn's
just where they did their weird shit. The very first Tesla, the real Tesla, was the Saturn EV1. It was a fully electric kind of convertible, not convertible, but two-seater car, not two-door car. So, not sedan, coupe.
Coupe.
Yeah. Two-door coupe, fully electric powered. They leased them in California, and they were too good. The oil companies got pissed at GM, told them to stop making them, take back the lease, and they didn't even destroy them. They just had them rusting in empty parking lots in Arizona.
Yep.
Because they're like, this is too good. We need to hide it because this is going to stop us from making our Iraqi oil money.
Pretty much.
Hashtag no politics.
So this is the Sean segment. Radiohead, they launched the Radiohead Public Library, and this is really fucking cool. And like, it was randomly just, I saw it on the Instagram, like, what the hell are they talking about?
Yeah.
But what it is on their website where you pop up the Radiohead Public Library.
The Radiohead website, which is, by the way, usually a shit show.
Yeah.
Like, usually a complete mess, like, which is why it's important to the library, but go on.
Exactly. And it just has a screen, it just pops up on the webpage, you scroll down, and it has all of their albums, all of the eras and stuff, and it has different live shows, different things, different mixes and things that they never really released. Or if you're not like a Radiohead head like me, you wouldn't find some of the stuff. So like people Example for Hail to the Thief era, you had Calm Lag, 2 plus 2 equals 5, which is my favorite Radiohead album. It's a B-side album that not too many people know about. And it started to blow up now because people are like, holy shit, this is amazing, because you got...
So like what happened here is that Radiohead decided to overhaul their website, rebrand as the Radiohead Public Library, and add all of the stuff that's additional to their album. So live footage, demos.
And stuff that like stuff that they never released before fully. So like the Jewel EP you could only get in CDs, which I have of one. Like some
Radiohead's very first EP before Pablo Honey.
Yeah, exactly. And then there's some things that you could only get like Japanese releases and stuff. So some of the stuff I have, but they never released online or anything at all.
Yeah.
Except there. They now released different songs of different versions, like From the Basement, the 2008 and Rainbow's version. They play, because they did a couple of different takes of certain songs
for
the hour long, and they showed the different takes that they did of it. And it was cool to hear, because I've listened to From the Basement, I think, a million times.
Me too.
I'm like, wait, this version of Weird Fishes seems different. I'm like, wait, this is the first take.
Yeah, the From the Basement
so cool.
sessions of Radiohead probably both of our favorite sessions of Radiohead performing live.
They are gold. It shows of why they're the greatest band.
Like, yeah.
Hands down.
Well, what I love, there's some additional footage. I have the live footage. So they have additional footage from when in 1997 when Radiohead performed at Glastonbury.
Yeah, because the versions I got before were all fuzzy, but this one, the quality is fantastic.
Yeah, I straight just like was not sentient for that.
Yeah, exactly.
I am just going to love to see that. You even have Radiohead's controversial performance in Tel Aviv. Mm-hmm. They have the full video of that. Maybe you'll get to see the Palestinians.
The OK Not OK cassette, which was only released as part of the bundle deal with the OK Not OK vinyl. They released that as well, so that has little hidden tracks and stuff on it as well. So there's a lot that goes into it. So yeah, for Radiohead fans like ourselves, it's like a Christmas. It's my Christmas.
It's pretty wonderful. And so there's this thing that's been floating around the internet. It's been making the rounds, and it recently made the rounds again. That when I first saw it was like, by a country mile, this is winning this year's Hard R Award. It's a video of Snoop Dogg doing karaoke in Korea with Psy of Gangnam Style fame, which is your first hint. But it's so racist.
Like he's
basically ching-chonging his way through the karaoke, even though he has the words in front of him. And I'll mind it, this is Korean, but this is like Romanized Korean, so you could read it in English. And it's just like, not really trying, it was just like making, I don't know how to do it, but just like...
It's making the sounds.
Like noises that are too racist sound like they come from Asia.
What are they doing?
But this video is actually
so funny.
What makes this worse is that this video was actually from like 2013, 2014 or so. And it was from when Snoop Dogg and Psy were talking about their new song Hangover that they did together as a collaboration. And they went on Jimmy Kimmel Live. And as part of it, they also did a side thing where they did karaoke. And that's where that happened. That video was spreading around again late last year. Because Chance the Rapper had just discovered it too in October, and he was like, yo, y'all need to see this. And yeah, that was kind of a vibe. We have more to talk about with Chance the Rapper, by the way, in a little bit, but we'll get to that in just a moment. Right now we have our last album of the week to review. It's Your Fun by Of Montreal.
Your Fun.
Your Fun.
10 songs, 40 minutes long. Oh, sweet indie rock. Sweet baby indie rock. I needed this.
Yeah,
any of this after listening to Jack Boys. I've been waiting for this for a while because I like Of Montreal a lot. I've listened to him for a while and a bunch of his other stuff because he's done a lot of eclectic indie weirdness things and stuff before. But
I was looking back and he's got like quite a discography.
No, there's a lot of stuff he has.
Yeah,
that's why.
Even like his two of his, like, I thought his most recent album was Innocent Reaches, which was from 2016.
No,
he made it was actually White as Relic, Irrelis.
Realism, which is like an EP style thing, right? Because it's short.
Yeah, short but with long songs.
Yes.
So it's like a little bit interesting. But yeah,
this is definitely a full LP, and it's fantastic. It's fucking good.
It's quite interesting.
It's the first song, Peace to All Freaks, sets the tone right. It's like, okay, this is experimental indie, but it's fun, kind of high paced, weird, but good. The song I like a lot is Get God's Attention by Being an Atheist because it's saying how like we want experience, but we don't want to feel bad or something on it. So it's somebody's, I don't know if it's his perspective or whatever, of having issues with religion or whatever it is. But he's saying, hey, you know what? I don't want to live my life being fear of doing things, having experiences because of a religion or whatever it is. So I'm getting my doing my own thing, but trying not to fear or whatever it is that it is. So that's a fantastic song. It's also weird as fuck.
Fair. A lot of songs.
A lot of songs are just goofy. They're fun. They're like the vocals are interesting and stuff. But it's different.
Yeah.
But it's good different too.
Upon maybe more listens, I will figure out how I feel about this. But I feel like indie and a lot of rock is kind of falling into this like 80s Ditto copy
it's
thing.
It's super 80s.
Where it's like, yes. Oh, we've just discovered these fun synths and these like muted drum beats and these like sort of things. And so like they're playing around with the canvas, making new music. But it's a canvas that folks are very familiar with if they've been like steeped in music like we've been and paying attention to 80s music and can tell that decade apart. But since like the theme of the show is that decades have passed, so it's time to bring these things back to a new audience again. Their 80s are damn near, like 1980 was 40 years ago, which is hard for me to like remath in my head what's the new decade math, but like it's now time to just in the same way that I like that funk is coming back, sometimes too much, but like in a new way that's kind of putting a spin on it. This is happening with 80s music as well.
Oh, it's definitely, and they're people are doing it a couple different ways. This one's putting a spin on it for sure because there's a couple songs that I can almost predict a lot of music because of how much music I listen to.
Yes.
But I was trying to predict what was coming from certain of the songs, and some of the songs wouldn't go at all the way direction I would like or think it would go.
It's a nice thing about indie.
Liked. Exactly, that's what I like about indie. And then there's some indie that you can like in 2 seconds you know exactly where the song's gonna go.
Yeah.
But this is definitely not that. And there's a couple songs where it would be, I can't remember exactly which one it was. It might be You've Had Me Everywhere. Where it's quiet, it's kind of talking, and then it goes up into this like high tempo beat, just like loving around, dancing, and then goes back to talking and stuff like that, where it's just up, down, up, down. And that's the entire album. It's a roller coaster. It's not, it's the exact opposite of Kaytranada, where that album was just streamlined, chill the entire time. This is definitely like, okay, it's going all over the place, but it's fun. It's different. I liked it a lot. Don't Let Me Die in America is fucking hilarious.
I was gonna say that
that's
my pick.
That's a funny song.
It's literally just like,
what do you do if you're a citizen, but you feel like your country's betraying, or you feel like you don't belong, or whatever it is. I feel like not even just as American, but as a bunch of other people in other nations as well. That's something that so many people have, having different underlying issues and stuff.
Yeah.
Especially if you immigrate to countries or you have backgrounds in with family and other stuff, you're like, who am I?
Or just so happens that like you move to a country or like you grew up in a country and you realize that either through the country changing a little bit or your own sort of understanding, it's not the country you previously thought. In the words of a Montreal, I don't even want to haunt this place.
Yeah, but the best part is like, I don't want to die here. Like, there's just naming random places in America.
Yeah, it's a fun song thing where you're just like naming cities, and of course, folks love getting their shout. Of course, Cincinnati always gets their shout outs in songs
always.
When they're the butt of a joke.
Always.
Yeah, but
It's fun. It's a good, literally, you're fun. That's a great title for this. Like, it's an 80s groove. Funk weirdness.
My two gripes might be that are both similar. maybe the 80s knob is turned up a little bit too high. Oh, it is
definitely turned up
high. And maybe the like wild up and down as you go through the album linearly knob is turned to the hot position.
Yeah.
But
there's definitely great pieces of it.
Yes, but of what's in here, I definitely found tunes and things that I like that I could definitely get into. But more than my usual like 2 to 3 listens I do for a review, maybe more listens will get me to like it just that much more. What canceled General Motors
vehicle? This is the GMC Envoy.
GMC Envoy.
The GMC Envoy. Real ones know what that car is. My mom had one before somebody decided to crash it or to crash into it. So, you know, Ripperoni.
I'm glad I'm making Ripperoni a thing.
Dude, Ripperoni is fucking hilarious. I love it. It's definitely a thing. Anyways, and that was a great SUV to drive. Like, it was protective, it was comfortable, I never had any issues. And then they're like, no, let's make an Acadia. Oops.
Mine?
GM.
I'm going with Cadillac Cimarron. I'm going with the Cadillac Cimarron because it's from the 80s and you love it, but you're not sure if you do.
Yeah, you know how many pimps, wannabe pimps drove that car?
My dad owned a burgundy Cadillac Cimarron. Actually, no. My dad owned a burgundy Cimarron by Cadillac because that's how they branded it.
Yeah, that's right. Cimarron by Cadillac. That's right.
And the car was a piece of shit. The thing barely made it to like 60 miles an hour.
Oh, before it started shaking. You had to replace the clutch every 2 years.
2 years is like a good clutch. You were 1-800 fuck a clutch in that thing. Like every 8 months, you need to fix that thing. You get a new clutch and a Cimarron before you get prenup, but
that's fucking rough.
It is still, it is like a car that is just genuinely 80s. You love it even for its faults. And you appreciate it before it fucking falls down. At least it's not on the Pinto.
Oh no, we don't talk about the Pinto.
We could get worse in the 80s, but we're not talking about Ford. We're talking about General Motors.
Oh, I mean,
General Motors. Yeah.
1997 Monte Carlo.
Punked is back because, you know, we're still this early into the decade. We can't figure out which, like, nostalgia pool we'll be getting from.
Dude, nostalgia is heavy.
Musically, we've gotten a lot of 80s. Mm-hmm. We're getting a lot of, like, 90s nostalgia trash, but, like, I'm just waiting till the day where I can actually buy a Double Dare 2000 t-shirt Target.
Right.
And that's when I know the 2000s nostalgia will really hit. But Punk'd is back. Punk'd the Ashton Kutcher Show, which is like prank celebrities. Used to be on MTV.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's going to be on Quibi, which, excuse me for a moment, I need to go on to like a media world rant a little bit. Quibi is...
What the fuck? Is the famous Hound saying in the Game of Thrones is, what the fuck's a Quibi?
Quibi is a media venture meant to compete with Netflix and Hulu, funded by Jeffrey Katzenberg, who used to work for DreamWorks.
Mm-hmm.
The founders of Chicken Run actually decided to turn their animation studio into a worker co-op because Jeffrey Katzenberg and DreamWorks wanted to buy it, and they're like, hard pass, we're going to unionize before we do that. So Jeffrey Katzenberg, also partial investor in the Young Turks LLC. Anyways, Quibi is a very interesting idea because the idea is that you're going to be watching videos in 5 to 5 minute chunks, basically, like in your car on your phone, but it's going to be episodic. So you can't binge watch any of this until the whole season's released. So it's going to be like HBO, but not HBO quality because these people don't know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Quibi is the reason people in media just have like way too much fucking money and they just need to throw it into the money pit or wherever Tom Steyer's throwing his campaign. Chance the Rapper is going to be hosting this show. There was a preview where Megan Thee Stallion was being terrorized by a gorilla. I mean, it looks moderately humorous, but I mean, again, I don't want him to do this like half hog nostalgia. Let's bring back Jackass.
I mean, down, fuck it. Bring back the fun ones, man.
I just want to see. Hi, I'm Donald Glover, and this is Jackass.
I'm so dumb. I would want Donald Glover.
Meow, 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 meow.
This is fucking terrifying. Grams debuts in social media accounts for a new digital avatar, War Nymph.
Yeah, people at very first glance thought that War Nymph was Elon Musk and Grimes' baby in a digitized format, although Grimes... I need to get the exact quote of this because this is so like next level dumbass. But Grimes responded saying, technically, this is a de-aged digital clone of myself, but probably similar to what my baby would look like. Tax the rich, tax the rich, tax the rich.
Yeah. I'm not going to say anything text because text anything text else text is going to be bleeped, and I don't want Dan to do any more editing than he has to do. Neil Young is finally an American citizen.
We always like to end audio face on a fun note.
Because we were literally just talking about this the other day.
We talked about this last year.
Yeah.
Neil Young had been fighting for his American citizenship for quite a while now. He's a Canadian citizen originally.
No, Canadian born. Yeah.
Yeah. But now he went through the oath ceremony that American citizens take at the Los Angeles Convention Center this weekend.
Do you speak English? Can you recite the national anthem?
He had his naturalization papers in one hand and a gaudy mini American flag in the other hand. He's proud to be an American. He wanted to become an American citizen so that he could vote against Donald Trump in the 2020 election.
Yeah, it's...
We're gonna need all the help we can get.
Four-dimensional chess.
We call this the long game.
That's kind of cool, though. I like Neil Young's music. His voice is kind of interesting, but lyrics and production are amazing. So yeah. That was Audio Face.
That was Audio Face. Thank you very much for listening. If you like this podcast, good. We like you. And you should show us that you like this podcast by subscribing to it wherever you listen to podcasts, whether it's Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify. We're on Pandora, apparently. We're on Google Podcasts, apparently. I don't check, but you can find us. And you can also find the show at AudioFacePod on Twitter and Instagram, where I'm starting shit. mostly on Twitter, because I'm trying to get the Twitter back up again. XXXTentacion's a bastard, just for the record. I can be found on Twitter at Dan from the Web, and on Instagram at Dan from the Internet. Sean can be found on both Twitter and Instagram at SW Suarez, and you can find the whole show at audioface.show. We will catch you next week. We may have a little surprise in the middle of the week for a little guests. If you're fans of the We Made It podcast, we may throw something a little special in there for you, but we'll keep that under wraps for now, because I don't know if I'm doing that or it'll get done. But thank you very much for listening, and we will talk to you in the next episode. Cheers.
Cheers.